Springfield.
Is it safe to turn your microphone on now? Welcome in. It is 107. Jenny Malone is here. Jenny Malone, your credentials, my love.
Good afternoon. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor with the state of Illinois. And I have a master's degree from the University of Illinois. I'm also a divorce mediator, a court-approved divorced and crisis mediator. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah. So if you're getting a divorce, I do the child custody piece, the visitation, the custody, the child support. I do the holidays, all that kind of stuff for people who are seeking a divorce or people that are ending a relationship. You don't even have to be married. Mediation is a court-ordered process all over the state of Illinois.
I bet you see drama.
Yeah, when people are getting a divorce, they're pretty much at their worst. And so they've pretty much had it, you know, with the marriage, obviously. And then the kids are caught in the middle. And the bottom line is that, you know, both people can't have everything they want. You know, you have to share the kids, you have to share the property and whatever. And feelings are hurt and emotions are high. And it's the mediator's job to stay neutral and try to help people reach a resolution that they can live with.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's difficult. I mean, I'm sure it's difficult to get people to calm down and think rationally, okay, calm, you know, because people are angry.
Yeah.
Especially during that time, I would assume it's really volatile.
Sometimes people will say, you know, I just don't even want to be in the room with that other person. So I just separate them and have them come in one at a time and just kind of run it back and forth. And
yeah.
I talk to the kids and see what they want. And, but, yeah, it's it's been a state, Illinois state law for several years now, I think since 2008, I want to say. I think that's right.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Before the break, you know, you hopped on my show on whatever day it was, and we were talking about the Fort Hood shooting, and you know, there's a lot going on there, but I and we could talk about that, but I wanted to ask you on the air, you said off the air that you had a case where, I don't know if you want to go into that or not, but
sure,
you basically said that this kid did something wrong, and he did something wrong, he said, because of Grand Theft Auto, the video game.
Yeah, I just had a client in this week, and he was he's a young man. He's 12 years old, and I go through the assessment, and I asked him, you know, have you had any trouble with the law? And, you know, there are some young people who have had trouble with the law by the age of 12, and he had this kind of theory going on about, you know, playing Grand Theft Auto, and that was what he likes to do. And I ask further, you know, what else do you like to do? And we just keep coming back to this video game. Well, long story short, he had been with his uncle. They were playing Grand Theft Auto together, and then the uncle took him to someone's house. They broke in the house, and they broke in the garage, and the uncle told him, basically, him, this 9-year-old, to take whatever they wanted.
Of course. That sounds like a good Friday night.
Yeah, that's good quality family time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So he kept working the game back into it. You know, I mean, my personal opinion about the game is that, you know, it's bad parenting, or it's people that are around you that are, you know, making you do dumb stuff. It's not a game that's doing it. But I think, you know, kids see that Grand Theft Auto splashes in the media, and that they can say, well, you know, we were playing this game, and then it made us go do this bad thing.
I think it's the influence. You know, it's the influence of the environment. If you, obviously, you've got a kid here who's influenced by adults who are, you know, doing criminal activity.
Yeah.
And then we have the influence of the game, which encourages criminal activity. And when you throw all that together, the outcome is criminal activity.
Yeah.
So it just plays into that theme. And that doesn't mean that everybody who watches Grand Theft Auto is going to go out and commit a burglary. But when you have young, impressionable children who do not have much guidance in the first place, it does impress upon their mind.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, the Fort Hood shooting, where this guy, this is the second shooting like this down there in how many years? 5 years? I mean, who knows what's going on, but we talked about it the other day.
Right.
This guy, have they said what he was diagnosed with?
All they've said is depression and anxiety. That's all that I've seen.
That's basically what I saw as well. And they had not diagnosed him with post-traumatic stress disorder.
He was being evaluated for that currently is what the news said.
So as it stands, depression, anxiety, how does it get to the level, either one? You said they're best friends or cousins or...
Yeah, anxiety and depression.
Or, yeah. How in the world does it get to that level? How does it... I mean, that's a generic question, general question. But how does it get to that level where somebody is so, you know, enraged that they want to just go and kill a bunch of people?
Well, there's a lot of factors there to look at, I think, Kramer, is we don't have enough information about this guy. We don't know... You know, how he was being treated for depression. We don't know if he was, if he had a moderate depression, if he had a long-term severe chronic depression. We don't know if he had a bipolar depression. We don't know what medication he was taking or if he was taking it as he was supposed to. We just don't know enough about this particular person. And some people have a personality. There's other factors that can go in there too. We talked a little bit about intermittent explosive disorder on the air on Thursday, I believe it was, and that is a mental health diagnosis that kind of covers that snapped kind of theory is that, and I've seen little kids who have this as well. And that's where you do just actually just snap. You get so mad. You're so enraged that you can't control yourself. You're just so angry. And then it lasts for half hour, and it's over.
Is that a chemical thing?
Yes, it is. It's like a rageaholic.
What's happening there, you know, chemically in your brain?
I really can't explain that. I don't know. All I know is that the chemicals are not working correctly, but I don't know what chemicals doing what. But, you know, you see those kind of people that very instantly just snap and they're in a rage.
Yeah.
And there's really no explanation for it.
How does someone control that? I mean, if you have intermittent explosive disorder, is there some way that you can control that?
First of all, you have to be aware of it. You have to... learn some coping skills and have a plan that, okay, I am very, very angry and I know what I can do and what I can't do. And that just needs to be, you know, programmed into your brain. There are three rules basically to anger is number one, you can't hurt yourself. Two, you can't hurt other people. And three, you can't tear up property. Okay.
Damn it.
Yeah.
That's the fun.
Now, if you want to take a sledgehammer to an old desk or an old barn, be my guest, if that helps you get your frustration out. But those are the basic rules. But
I threw a vacuum cleaner one time.
I threw a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I threw it across the room. But, you know, those were the drinking days. Those were back in the fun days. But if people, like, I know what you mean. Like, if somebody just gets mad and, you know, everybody's going to get angry, and that's
right,
fine.
Right, that's a natural emotion.
Yeah, I mean, but when you go from 0 to 100, you know, in 3 seconds and you start, you know, I had a friend not that long ago who would start throwing stuff, and it would water bottles, whatever was near, and it was weird. You know, coworker actually was not necessarily a friend, but a coworker, and I was like, dude, you're crazy. What's going on with you? And I saw that behavior several times with him.
That's some people describe it as I've heard it. You know, I was over the line and I can't go back, or that whole seeing red.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I'm over the line, yeah. And I can't go back.
Do people that have that, once they feel it coming on, do they go to meds or anything like that so that, you know, it chills them out, or what do they do?
They should have meds every day. Should be ongoing medication. Common one is Depakote, which is like a mood stabilizer for people to control their mood so that that kind of thing doesn't happen. It's not like you have an episode, oh, I'm taking a pill. It's you take the medicine daily so that get to that point.
Gotcha. Right, yeah. And so anxiety is another thing. Depression in and of itself. There are so many people. One of the things I appreciate about
we're very stressed people.
We are. We really are.
We are very, very stressed, in a hurry, instant gratification, needy people. The faster we go, the more stressed we get.
Mm-hmm. And it seems that that as I become older, I sense that more from people.
You know, do you go camping?
No.
I think that's why people like to go camping. Because if you think about it, when you're camping, you're getting, I'm going to get away from it all kind of thing, is that you're out with nature, which is calming.
Quiet.
You're away from all the electronics for the most part. Mm-hmm. Maybe you take along your phone. Maybe you get reception. Maybe you don't. You get away from all the household chores and the duties. You start a fire. That's relaxing. And you're just kind of there.
Yeah.
With nature, with your friends, and de-stressing. And then maybe you're on the lake or on the water or something, and that's relaxing. I think that's why people like camping so much.
It's awesome. I when I go home to Alabama, everything is just a lot quieter, and my kid brother has a pond near where he lives, and we get up everybody, all the kids, and we go fishing, and there is not a sound. I mean, the wind and some birds out in the woods is all there is, and it'll be like sunny, and you can sit on the banks on the grass, and it sounds so boring, but it is, and I love it. It is the best de-stressor.
Nature gives us what we need. We just take it for granted or overlook it. We have in therapy, we have noise making machines, and they're birds, waterfalls, ocean. They're all nature sounds that relax people.
Tell people that they should get one of those machines. I love those little things, man. The water, the little, the water flowing, love that.
I turn it on, and if they like it, then I encourage them to get one.
Oh, you mean like while you're talking to someone?
Mm-hmm.
You have
I turn
those?
It on.
That's cool.
And if they like it, yeah.
I want to come and talk to you. I want to come. Do you have like a little?
You want a consultation?
I do. Just sit there and just tell you everything that's pissing me off.
I have a nice room, and I have a couch, and we get some nice chairs there, and we have it's all quiet. There's no windows. It's private. Nobody can hear you talking. Got the relaxing music on.
If you would like to talk to Jeannie or maybe go and visit her, a consultation or whatever, you can email her at mentalhealth180@yahoo.com. And she also has a phone number, which is
217-899-9873. And you can call for a free consultation. I do a 30-minute in-person free consultation if you are seeking counseling and wanting to talk to somebody, just to see if it's a good match and see if that's what you need.
Do you do marriage counseling?
I do. I do couples counseling. Done it for years.
Okay, so if you need couples counseling or and I would like to throw this out there as well. If you think maybe you suffer from depression, and maybe somebody's told you that maybe you might want to go and have a diagnosis, and I'm serious. And there are, because we talked about it the other day,
right,
there are a lot of people, especially guys, that think that they are tougher than admitting that they are depressed.
Right.
Clinically depressed.
Like we said, sometimes in men, depression will manifest more as an anger, an irritability, than in the symptoms you think of as crying and that kind of thing. And there's ways to treat depression that don't involve medication. It's not everybody doesn't have to have that.
What's the difference in just depression and clinical depression? Is there any difference?
Well, there's a chronic long-term depression, which is basically the way you're wired. It's hereditary. We see it run in families, and it's just kind of what you're born with. And then there's also a situational depression, which is the result of a situation. You can have either or both.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, she's also on the air now. 217-629-7970, and we'll be back. Mental Health 180. Jeannie Malone is in the house. 217-629-7970. Isn't that some happy music right there?
I was about broke out and danced there.
Some trumpets, some trombones. Greg, you're up with Jeannie Malone. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
I got a question. My grandson, he's 7 years old. He's got a brother, 8, and a cousin, 9, living at the house. And these three boys can be holy terrors, but, you know, they're that age.
Mm-hmm.
The one youngest, he likes to watch this Minecraft videos, and some of that stuff gets violent, but I observe a lot of it, and it's just, I wonder about the language. But my daughter signed him up for boxing.
Okay.
As an opportunity to release some of his anger.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good idea, or is it just kind of generate more, now I can actually punch other things instead of just in the boxing class?
I think you're okay with the boxing. And the reason I say that is that will give him some guidance in how to use his body, and he will get a chance to, punch that punching bag and release some of his anger in a healthy way as opposed to releasing it somewhere else.
Yeah, that was the general concept, was give him an outlet to release
right.
his anger. And he does have a tendency to be fine 1 minute and then just explosive angry the next.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like, well, okay, this made sense, but I figured I'd take an opportunity and see what
I think you're good with that.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I mean, you would think like an organized sport, even if it is boxing, at that level, it's not like they're going to be like, you know, throwing each other on the ground and punching them in the face. I mean, there's a lot of skill that goes.
Yeah, they're going to have some guidance with that, like in Taekwondo and those type things. They teach people discipline and respect and how to carry yourself and, you know, other things besides just how to punch the bag.
Let's talk about anger for a second.
Okay. Everybody's got it.
Everybody has anger,
mm-hmm.
And that's normal. It's fine. But do you think that people need to? I mean, in other words, if you don't get your anger out, it's cliche to say this, but is it true that if you don't get it out, that sooner or later you're just going to explode, and then you just go off on somebody one day?
It's going to do one of two things if you don't get it out. It's going to explode. It's going to build and build and build like a volcano, and then it's going to explode. Or it's going to turn the other direction, and you're going to soak it in, and it's going to become depression. Depression is anger turned in on yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anger is depression.
Anger is depression turned in on yourself.
Gotcha. So it's important to, like, get that out.
It is very important to get it out. Whether
you
punch a bag, whether you ride it out, whether you walk and jog, whatever you do, talk about it, it needs to come out.
If you are an average, everyday person, you go through life, and you keep getting angry at someone, should you not express that, or is it better to at least find some way to express that anger?
It's better to find some way to express the anger. You're talking about a particular person? Or just
yeah,
in general?
I mean, well, just in general, but I mean, like, you know, if because I don't know, you know, when you're at work and in work situations, there are some times where, you know, you're like, okay, well, this guy keeps pissing me off, but.
And there's one everywhere you work.
Of course.
Everywhere you work, there's somebody that just rubs you the wrong way. There's one every place, yeah.
Should you try to get that out to the person?
Well, depends on who
or
the person is.
Or should you just go out
is.
Back and knock around, a dummy or something?
I would suggest in a work situation that you, you know, try to avoid that person as much as possible, and just try to consider that, okay, this person annoys me. I know it, and I'm just not going to pay a whole lot of attention to him.
Yeah. Well, because I kind of have that situation
now,
here.
If the person is your boss, that's a little hard to do sometimes, but...
Well, the guy at the source of mine is Doc Noyes, the guy who comes in on the weekends and does the gaming show.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even stand to look at his face without wanting to punch it. You know?
Yeah, you probably should stare clear of him.
Because he's just so damn annoying. And I can't stand this guy. But, I mean, I have to work with him because we have this show. You know, it's making a lot of money, and I don't know.
Walk away.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that on the air. No, but the Fort Hood shooting brings up all this stuff, and whenever there's a shooting. And unfortunately, it's usually put, the focus is either on terrorism or it's on guns. And to me, there's not enough emphasis put on the mental side of this stuff, you know?
I am a firm believer in the saying that guns don't kill people, people kill people.
Sure.
I'm just going to put this out there. I'm an old farm girl. I was raised right up the road here outside of Mount Pulaski, and we had guns in our house every day. It was not an unusual scene to see a couple of shotguns sitting in the corner of the kitchen, of the dining room, out on the porch, and there was myself and two sisters. We were taught how to shoot the guns. We were taught how to clean them, how to load them, and how to respect them. We never, ever, ever, ever entertained the idea of taking one to school.
Right.
Never thought that. Never entered our minds. And we were taught how to handle them and to respect them, and there was never any problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I know things are different now. We keep hearing about all these shootings, but I think that we as a people have to be more responsible for ourselves and our actions and what we do and what we teach our children to do.
Yeah, it's out of control. Jeannie Malone, again, you can email her at mentalhealth180@yahoo.com. Or call her on her business line. The number is
217-899-9873. And like I said before, I offer a free 30-minute consultation if you want to call or come by and you know, see if we can help you out.
Thanks, Gina. Have a good rest of your weekend.
You too.